Today I would preach to you on this theme, see what the end shall be. It's an old gospel, or actually a spiritual hymn, song that says, done made my vow to the Lord, and I never will turn back. Oh, I will go and I shall go and see what the end shall be. You see, sometimes when you set out in life, maybe it's a marital vow, a vow to priesthood, or just some course you've undertaken, discouragements and disappointments set in. It's times like those you got to remember. I made a vow to the Lord that I would follow him. And I got to keep remembering what the end will be. The end will be. And what is the end of this great journey that we are on? Brothers and sisters, if we are faithful, joys unspeakable and glories untold. That's the end. Are you praying with me? Because although this gospel ends with a guard keeping watch over a tomb, lest somebody come out, he's going to come out anyway. He's going to rise on the third day. And one of the things that we have to do in a moment like this, where things seem so dark, we who came in with a wave offering, singing Hosanna, no sooner had we taken our seats and gotten up again than we were shouting, crucify him. From the same mouth come blessings and curses. It should not be so, my brethren, says the book of James. But it is. But in the midst of all this, the love of God prevails for us. And Jesus will step out of the tomb. It may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Now, with that in mind, I would ask you then to ponder with me, first of all, the troubles of this gospel rooted in this fundamental issue. There is a perception that is only partial. Jesus has predicted all of this to his apostles. In fact, over and over again, he said exactly what would happen as they were heading toward Jerusalem. He says, for example, I'll just give you one, but there's at least seven times heading south in the Rift Valley as he headed south for Jerusalem. He said this, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Did you hear that? And on the third day, I need to repeat that. I don't seem to have your attention. On the third day, he says, I will rise. Somebody just say, I'll rise. Whatever those troubles you're going through, you got to keep saying, I'm going to rise. And Jesus had taught this again and again and again. And at the beginning of the gospel today, you heard Jesus say this at the Last Supper. Looking at each of them at table, and he's looking at you right now. And he's looking at me. And he says this night all of you will have your faith in me shaken, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. So again, over and over again, I could give you seven other quotes where Jesus said, look, here's what's going to happen. We're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer there, and I'm going to die at the hands of men. But on the third day, somebody say it, I'll rise. They forgot that, and they were overwhelmed by the sadness of Good Friday. Although the Lord had taken them up on Tabor, some of them, to see his glory, to prepare them for this day, only John would make it to the foot of the cross. They forgot. How quickly they forgot. How quickly sadness and darkness overwhelm us and make us just shut down. And because of this, because of their perception that's only partial, there are then a number of problems that are presented. We might call them character defects. But there are a number of things that the disciples go through that are really like us. We go through them because so easily we forget, and we have a perception that's only partial. We see the suffering, we see the cross, we see the death, but we forget that in 3 days, I'm going to rise. And therefore, these things, I want to look at a few of the kind of character defects that are evident in them. And I'm looking more to the disciples here, not to the overtly wicked, like who shout crucify, the crowd, the rabble that was raised up to shout crucify, or the Pharisees. I'm looking to the disciples now, to these folks that I pray are the most like us. We want to follow the Lord, and we believe in the Lord, and we think that we want to be his disciples, but because we so easily forget and our perception is partial, we fall into patterns of sin. And most of them are rooted in fear. And why fear? Because we forget that in 3 days, I'm going to rise. So let's look at some of them and remember what's causing them. The fear. And what causes the fear? The perception that's only partial. They see the cross. They see the suffering. But they forget the resurrection. So just to list them, if I give a full-length homily, you'll kill me, and I might have to rise from the dead in front of you. But I want to say that the first thing you notice is that because of their fear, their anxiety, they become drowsy. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and he left the others in a little cave. I got to say Mass in that cave where tradition says the rest of the apostles waited while Jesus was in the garden praying. But Peter, James, and John went outside that cave, and they went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus said, look, stay awake, pray, watch, lest you give way to the temptation or to the test. But you know what happens. They slept. They fell asleep. They were drowsy. You see, and again, we do this if we're not careful. When we look at the condition of our world today, we're sometimes overwhelmed, aren't we? The moral confusion of our times, the breakup of our families, violence, lack of respect. And we're overwhelmed. And you know what a lot of us do? We just tune out. What's on TV tonight? We escape into entertainment. Some people drink. Some people do other things. But you see the idea. We just kind of go to sleep morally. Fighting and trying to hold up justice or God's commandments or purity and the beauty of human sexuality and love and the family is just too much, and it earns us only scorn. And we're afraid, and we forget that Jesus says, if you're scorned or mocked, don't give way to it. Remember, in 3 days I rose. But we forget that part, and we get anxious and fearful. And instead of standing up to the moral darkness of our day, we just go to sleep morally. Maybe we just go along with it. Or we just anesthetize ourselves. We turn on the TV, our jaw hanging open, and we just flip the channels. Or we flip through the internet. Or we drink or whatever. Drowsy, sleepy. Where's the courage? Where's standing up for righteousness? That's a lot of trouble, Father. I might get killed for it. Yeah. And in 3 days, you rise. You get killed for it, maximum promotion, the martyrs have front seats in heaven. But you see what happens to us, right? Drowsiness, right? Okay. And then sometimes we do wake up. You see, the second problem, though, is this tendency to want to destroy. And so Peter wakes up. And as Fulton Sheen once said, he says, as a swordsman, Peter proves to be an excellent fisherman. Wildly flaying the sword, and he hacks off the slave or the ear of the slave or the high priest. And Jesus says, put your sword back. But again, when Peter does finally wake up, he overreacts. And so do we, right? We delay, we don't discipline our children, we just let things go and go, and finally we wake up and we're so angry we just yell and scream. We're verbally violent, sometimes physically violent, riotings and all kinds of crazy things. Instead of the steady work to instill righteousness and the goodness and moral beauty and truth, when we finally, we're just asleep, but when we finally wake up, we wildly swing the sword, angry, bitter. And we do those things. And so again, we can say, well, what's wrong with Peter? What's wrong with us? We see that in our culture, and we see that among ourselves and in our lives. Or again, not only are they drowsy, and not only do some of them seek to destroy, but then some just outright go into denial. Denial. Don't you know him? I don't know him. Come on, I hear by your hick accent from Galilee, you got to be a Galilean. You must know him. I don't know the man. I swear I don't know him. Oh, surely you know him. I don't know him. Now, for many of us, we too can easily fall into forms of denial or distancing ourselves. So, for example, you're one of those Catholics? Ooh, what an out-of-touch, backward church. You don't really believe all that stuff, do you? Oh, no, I don't really believe all that stuff. Don't worry about me. I'm actually a decent person. You know. You don't really believe all that crazy. No. I'm a Catholic. I go to church. But, you know, we don't talk about all that really bad stuff in my church, you know, like, you know. So we just deny, distance. Jesus says, if anyone is afraid of me and my teachings before men, I will be ashamed of him on the day of judgment before my Father. You don't believe that teaching against gay marriage in that church of yours, do you? You don't actually follow that teaching on contraception, do you? I mean, well, shouldn't people be able to kill themselves if they're in pain at the end of life? You're at your crazy church, just, you know, you don't believe all that stuff, do you? Oh, no, not really, no. So you see, again, there's just this type of denial. What causes it? Fear? Fear? If I stand up and say, well, I'm against gay marriage because God didn't set it up that way, well, people will call me closed-minded, they'll laugh at me, some might walk out of my church, or if I talk about getting married and staying married, and, you know, well, that's unpopular today, and people might raise their eyebrow. They're probably not going to kill you for it. But even then, we're still afraid. You see the idea? And so we just go into denial mode, or we distance ourselves. We say, well, I don't take all that stuff too seriously. Don't worry about me. Okay. So you see the vision, right? So some are drowsy. Some are in destruction mode. We see also some are in denial mode, and then some just dodge. They just get out of dodge, as in get out of dodge. So every one of them except John fled. When Jesus was arrested, pew, they all fled. We don't know where they went and hid, but they were hiding out. Only, I want to say it to my regret as a clergyman, only one clergyman, John, made it to the foot of the cross. Only one bishop, one priest was there. That was John. That was it. The rest were hiding out. Silent pulpits. Father, what do you think? Oh, don't ask. Hiding out. So you see, and John was there, but praise God, we see Mary, his mother, was there, Mary Magdalene, Mary Clopas, and a couple of other women, but only one clergyman. Yeah, see, the supposed leaders are all way, they're hiding out. And so again, they just flee, they just run. Okay. Now, I'm trying to show you these things because you start to see that these patterns set up, but why do these patterns set up in them? And these patterns set up because of fear. But why are they afraid? Because they have forgotten that he said, in 3 days, I'm going to rise and cast off death like a garment. But they forgot. And all they saw was the suffering in front of them. Now, the final example isn't one of the disciples. It is actually Pontius Pilate. But, you know, Pilate's sort of a sympathetic figure, but because he's so much like us. You know, Pilate really didn't want to make a decision about Jesus. Do I have to make a decision about you? And he's, in this gospel, he's presented as vacillating because his wife says, have nothing to do. I had a dream about this man. He's righteous. He's innocent. Let him go to have nothing to do with him. He's anxious. He's fearful. He wants to please the crowd and avoid a riot. So he pleases his bosses. So he gets the promotion and gets out of Palestine and goes to a better post. And yet he's also anxious because I don't want to condemn an innocent man, and my wife has warned me this is a bad omen. And if I do that, I'll also suffer and I'll be cursed. Either way, I'm a loser. And so he's vacillating. John's gospel presents him physically as vacillating. And John's gospel is fascinating. They bring Jesus to the outside of the praetorium, but they refuse to bring him in, the religious leaders, because, and it's very ironic, John's gospel is dripping with irony here, they don't want to go into the house of a Gentile, into the governor's palace, because they would become ritually impure and couldn't celebrate the Passover feast. Look at this. They're bringing an innocent man who happens to be their God and Savior, and they're putting him up on false charges, and they're worried about ritual impurity. Are you praying with me? Talk about majoring in the minors, huh? And yet, Pilate goes out, and the Gospel of John presents Pilate this way. He goes out, he goes in, he goes back out, he comes back in and talks to Jesus. Goes back out, talks to the Jews. Comes back in, talks to Jesus. Seven times! It's a picture of vacillation. He doesn't want to make a decision about Jesus. Do I have to decide? Yes. At one point in this gospel today, he comes and he says, look, Jesus, give me something so I can let you off. Jesus just stood there and said, nothing. You've got to make a decision about me. You've got to make a decision. And so it is for all of us. And yet again, too many of us, like Pilate, we want to vacillate. Am I going to serve the world? And my career, or my political party, or am I going to serve the Lord? Oh, do I have to decide? Can I do both? In and out, vacillate, in, out. And that's so easily us. And again, where's our courage? Are you worthy of Jesus Christ, or are you just worthy of the District of Columbia? Are you worthy of Jesus Christ, or are you just worthy of the corporation you work for? And yet, fearfully, we want to be like Pilate. Can I do both? Not always. Sometimes you just have to make a decision and accept the consequences. But we vacillate. Why do we vacillate? Because we're afraid. Why are we afraid? Because we forgot that in 3 days he rises. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get our perspective back. The gospel ends today on a tragic note. A tomb has been sealed. Almost a comedic note. A guard is put in front of a tomb so a dead man doesn't come out. He's going to come out, y'all. He's coming out. And we got to keep remembering that. Because I want you to know that we're all very familiar with Good Friday, and we know the difficulties. And yet you got to keep remembering that if there are any sufferings involved in trying to live the gospel, if there are just the sufferings and struggles of just living in this world, never forget that in 3 days I will rise. Listen again to what Jesus says as I begin bring this to an end, this homily. Jesus is at the table with them, and it was again at the beginning of the gospel. And he says this, "This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep, the flock, will be dispersed. But after I've been raised up, I will see you in Galilee." Never forget, you're going to see the Lord in Galilee. The Galilee of heaven, but even the Galilees of this world, just as they did. Now, Galilee might have seemed an awful long way away from them. In fact, it was 70 miles by foot. And yet, Jesus said, I will see you fully alive. 3 days, I'm going to rise. 3 days, I'm going to rise. Just somebody say, I'll rise. And so if you and I are locked down into fear too easily, we become drowsy and we just try to tune out and medicate ourselves and just shut away the world with all of its moral confusion. Or maybe we lash out and seek to destroy, or we fall into denial mode, or we're just dodging and hiding out, or we are simply deflecting. I don't want to have to make a decision for Jesus or against him. Like Pilate, we say, and when he finally does make a decision, he still won't accept it. I'm washing my hands. I'm innocent of this. No, you're not, Pilate. You did make a decision. You decided against him, and you have to accept the consequences. But again, we do all that because we're afraid, but never forget. Let Jesus say, I'm going to see you in Galilee. See what the end shall be. Done made my vow to the Lord. And I never will turn back. Oh, I will go, and I shall go, and I'll see what the end shall be. Oh, I'm going to see the Lord again. In 3 days, I'm going to rise with him. I will rise. And whatever the sufferings of this world, even if this world kills me, I'll have a maximum promotion among the martyrs in heaven. 3 days I rise. The Lord says, I'll see you in Galilee. You know the old song, just says, I promised the Lord I would hold out. Said he'd meet me in Galilee. Do you believe that, you all? You got to believe it, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't, we start to shut down in fear and we start to do all this stuff. Help the Lord. Hey, help us, Lord, to remember we're going to see you in Galilee. And if you know the old song, just sing it with me, because you know I need some help up here. It just goes like this. It says, I promised the Lord that I would hold out, hold out, hold out. I promised the Lord that I would hold out. Said he'd meet me in Galilee. Now that you remember, you can sing it one more time with me. I promise the Lord.
Hold out, hold out. I promise the Lord that I would hold out. Meet me in Galilee.
See you.